ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Well, our medical news of the week segment is on smallpox. Recently, a small vial of live virus was found in an old storeroom in the NIH, and it's not supposed to be at the NIH. And my expert, who we are lucky enough to have on the show, knows all about it. Dr. Jeff Runge is an adjunct professor of emergency medicine at University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. He's also a principal in the Chertoff Group, and he was the first appointed chief medical office of the Department of Homeland Security when it was first formed back in 2005, I believe. He's also served on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, so he's quite the expert in a lot of fields. Welcome, Dr. Runge. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lee. Nice to be here.
So, you know, it's funny. I was asked about this, last week or the beginning of the week, and of course, you know, the party line of, you know, the U.S., oh, well, it's safe and they did the right thing at the NIH. But I thought it was a little disconcerting that it just kind of showed up in an old storeroom, and it's really only supposed to be in two places, the known live virus, right, in the whole world.
Well, yeah, disconcerting would be putting it mildly. And you know, I have to say at the outset that I think that the people who are there and who are in charge and are making decisions now have done all the right things and said all the right things. But it that begs the question I believe, you know, as you and I discussed at one point, it's supposed to be in only two places in the world. But, you know, but what are our guarantees? You know, as it stands, the inventory controls at the lab at the NIH obviously are being examined. If I were they, I would go over every single nook and cranny of that place with a fine-tooth comb, and I'm sure that they are. But you know, it is obviously there's no acute, clear, and present danger to us at the moment. But boy, it sure does speak for a need to tune up our preparedness about this issue.
Right. So first, let's say, so where are the two labs in the world that are supposed to have this virus?
Well, there's one is at the CDC mm-hmm. and in a very high bio-level containment lab, the latest version of which was built in the 2002-2004 timeframe. It's absolutely state-of-the-art, and it's the best in the world. The other is in Russia. You know, I've never been there, but it is not as new or modern of a laboratory. I've always sort of wondered, you know, there are a lot of weaponry around the world that was in Russia's possession
right.
all through the Cold War, including nuclear material. The world, you know, probably led by the U.S. State Department, with a congressional appropriation, has been after nuclear fissile material now for quite some time, trying to locate it, take care of it, find the weapon scientists and so forth. But nobody's doing that for biological warfare.
Wow. And that, of course, is the scary question. You know, I mean, I guess thank God this vial was found here in the U.S. We are doing the appropriate things. We understand. But it really begs the question, you know, you're right. Is this garden in Russia? Have people been selling it on the black market? We know there's a problem with that in Russia. So that, I think, is the frightening part of all this.
Well, and, you know, there are you know, heroes of public health. You know, Dr. D.A. Henderson, who worked on the eradication of smallpox, and, you know, the declarations that we are now free of smallpox has been eradicated from the world. That has, you know, while true in a truly clinical sense, the preparedness posture of the United States is that we are still diligently looking for it. There are detection systems, there are plans, response plans in case smallpox or similar orthopox infects a population because of its contagiousness. So it's not as if it's being ignored, but the level of comfort that we had around it, I think, has been jostled a little bit.
Yeah, and then let's talk about that. I'm glad you brought it up. So let's talk a little bit about what smallpox is, because for many people living today, I mean, they've never really even seen smallpox. So exactly what causes smallpox and what is it?
Well, it is a virus, and it's it's also, you know, in addition to this rash, it's also accompanied by profound systemic symptoms, and it can be lethal. And you're right. No practitioner in the United States has seen smallpox, except for that, you know, that one, you know, child that's always in the photographs that
right.
the CDC has on its website.
That's from 1930.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
But as contagious as it is, you know, it's not as, in its clinical form, it's not as bad as a lot of diseases and contagiousness. You know, it's spread by contact with the viruses being shed in the vesicles of the rash. So, you know, clothing and bedding, and, you know, the old story about Europeans giving it to the Native Americans here on blankets.
Right.
You know, sort of the classic deal. So, you know, and, you know, it could get on your hands, it can live for quite a long time. Usually barrier precautions are sufficient, and making sure that, you know, people are appropriately isolated who would have it, is really, you know, how you limit the immediate spread. But we also have a very effective smallpox vaccination, and we have enough in the strategic national stockpile to vaccinate the entire population should that become necessary.
Right. And so you bring up a good point. So it's not like you can cough and sneeze on somebody. You almost have to be a closer contact or touch them or come into contact with their sores. And in the ER, we're sort of get some training, right, to recognize it. As far as what the rash would look like, that would sort of set a cascade of events going on so that we could contain it? Is that?
Well, sure. Correct? I mean, in my decades of emergency medicine, I hated rashes. But this is one that I paid attention to.
Right.
Only because I'm sort of aware of the need that, you know, our country depends on the quote unquote astute clinician to be the, you know, the human intelligence, the sensors. In the community, and emergency medicine is at the tip of that spear. When someone comes in with a prodrome of illness and has not dewdrops on a rose petal like chicken pox, but a deep-seated uh-huh. vesicular rash that starts in the mucous membranes and is centrifugal, you know, on the limbs, involving the palms and soles, you have to ask yourself. You have to make sure you got a diagnosis of what's going on, in particularly in a state of heightened awareness.
Right, and one of the clues, right, is, you know, chickenpox, you have different stages. Some are scabs and some are the vesicles, but the smallpox seems to break out all at once.
Well, I'll leave it
is
to you.
Is that true?
Dr. Van Oker, I think that... The message that I think we should convey here is not necessarily, I mean, everybody should brush up on smallpox. You know, look at the pictures, look at the major minor criteria and so forth. This is a good reminder for everyone. But it's the next step. What do you do? You know, the fact is that if a suspicious case of smallpox comes into the emergency department, your first thing to do is to isolate the patient, put them on barrier precautions, and notify your public health director and your infectious disease consultant.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I remember in Maryland on the Eastern Shore not long ago, there was a woman who had chicken pox that looked suspicious, and it started the cascade of events. So far, we're safe in this country. Thank goodness. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Van Oker on Radio MD. Stay well and tune in to your health.